halfway mark. I was way behind first and second place. Pushed off the wall, pushed off into another lane, and swam into a guy called Albert Caravas and crashed into him. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Weekly Freestyle with myself, Tom Dean, and my co-host, Alex Sutton. We're doing a little remote record. This is our 54th episode, season six, which is very, very exciting. We're on a Zoom call. There's three of us, us two, and our producer, all of whom are called Tom Dean. So interesting, a little bit confusing. But no, it's exciting and great to chat to you, Alex. How's your week been?
Yeah, it's been good. Thank you. I really enjoy recording on a Monday. For a number of reasons. Obviously, it's a wonderful start to the week. But most importantly, it allows us to have a really fresh kind of response to the weekend, and we can keep everything live and up to date. So yeah, I always sort of really look forward to our recording slot. We're quite far apart today, right now. You're down in Bath. I'm in, I would say sunny Berkshire, but it's very cloudy. But we will be linking up later today to get some additional TWF content, which, to be honest, I can't wait for, Tom.
I'm really excited about it, and we're going to tease what that's going to be later down the line, but some very, very good video content coming to you guys. You had a much more interesting weekend than I did. Mine was pretty tame. Mine was recovering. I had my first Saturday morning swim session I've had in about 6 months. It was recovering from the week of work. It was pretty steady going. Nothing too much to report. You were up the M6 again, which is very, very exciting. Do you want to give a quick rundown on this Anfield excursion?
Yeah, I've got a few things to talk about for sure. I think firstly though, people would be interested. How was that first Saturday back for you? Was it was there anything that stood out in the session, or was it kind of pretty straightforward, as you say?
Yeah, Saturday morning always a good one. Roads are quiet. First of all, a lot quieter than a little midweek session. They're tough, man. Saturday mornings. I slept until 10:30 in the morning on Sunday morning. I was that tired after Saturday morning training. It's not even hard training. It's just getting back into doing early mornings. Like, I'm still in a build week this week. I've actually got a mental week this week. I need to tell you all about it. It's busy, busy, busy. And I need a little bit of advice from you and maybe the TWF listeners. Actually, it's not going to come out in time for an event I'm actually going to tomorrow night. Actually, I'll get your take on it now. Got an event tomorrow night. Okay. Yeah. Really exciting celebration, big, you know, fancy and a really fancy hotel in London. It's like a cover party for this magazine. Should be some big hitters there. So hopefully going to be able to spread the TWF word, get a few of them as guests on soonish. Dress codes. Okay. I like a simple dress code. I like a black tie, smart casual, lounge suit, simple. Okay. Mm-hmm. The dress code for this event is glamorous. Ooh, what on earth do I wear for that? Glamorous. Yeah, is it black tie? Is it, you know, dinner jacket? Is it a suit with a funky tie? You know, do I have like a little bow tie that spins around and sprays water out? I don't know what to do. And I've got a few hours to figure it out because I'm going home tonight. So any suggestions are very much welcome.
I think the first thing that pops out to me there is sparkles. So if you've got anything shiny, that might be worth popping on, maybe on your shoulder pads.
If only I'd done a show where I'd worn a lot of sequins and maybe had access to some of those outfits.
I'm sure that if you'd stayed in a bit longer, there might have been a few.
Oh my God.
So harsh. No, it's a really interesting question. I think what I take from that is you're going in smart. You want to go smart, but you just want that something extra.
Yeah.
So whether it's that flash of color, that rotating bow tie, dare I say something like, I don't know, those flared trousers or something like that.
Yeah, it might have to be done. You know, there's like, oh, you know, there's like suits that Elvis wore and it's like dying days in Las Vegas when he's really on his ass. My rock up just like drenched in sweat with those massive collars as well.
Yeah, rock up on one of them. Fully open.
Yeah, literally going down to like my belly button. So yeah, it's up for discussion. But no, I need to figure that out. So no, that's been my week. That's been my weekend. Really kind of tossing and turning with that question of attire. Two events this week actually coming up. One on Tuesday night, one on Thursday night, both in London. Should be busy. Back home for a big Maidenhead fixture. Well, was supposed to be a big Maidenhead fixture, but still a big fixture of kinds for our friend Luke's birthday on Saturday. I've got a feeling, speaking to a lot of people, I don't know whether you're kind of getting the same vibes, this coming Saturday, 1st of Feb, it's going to be a big one across the nation because it's the end of Dry Jan. And a lot of people I know are doing Dry Jan, and it's just conveniently lined up with the first of Feb on Saturday night. So I know that you'll be having the odd J2O. It should be a lot of fun. But yeah, I think it's going to be, a lot of people I've spoken to said they're celebrating the end of dry January, which always cracks me because you have this really healthy month of not drinking. And then you celebrate the end of this healthy period. You're like, thank God I've got this healthy period of my life done by just kind of abusing your body a little bit. But no, it should be a fun week.
Yeah, that is interesting how the 1st of Feb is specifically a Saturday. Yeah, it's going to be a massive fixture. I've not been one for dry Jan. I think the resolution thing's tricky because you've almost got to look, is that period beyond?
Yeah.
It's because it's probably such a tough month for people in terms of like that fitness or their resolutions, and then you get it done and then it's just even tougher to continue afterwards, especially if you have a little bit of a blowout. But you alluded to my trip up north this weekend to watch another big fixture, football related, but that's not the crux of the story. The thing I wanted to share with you, and I've not actually told you about this, was that I met up with someone just because I needed an extra ticket. So as sometimes happens, it can be quite late in the day, pull a few strings, see where the demand's at, and you meet up with people just to kind of do a little exchange. It's obviously quite a tense and nerve-wracking time because obviously if you don't know each other, you know, could be anyone. There are scammers about, so you've got to be a little bit aware. But I was building up a nice rapport with this guy, having a little bit of chat, and I felt quite confident that the exchange was going to be a good one. And met this guy. He was there with his sister, really nice guy. Got chatting, actually left them with sort of the other friends in my group to take into the stadium. Thought that was it. Game had done, all good, made the connection, dropped him a follow on Instagram. And
Oh my
little
God.
do I see that this guy who I'd randomly met off Twitter actually has mutual friends with people that you've been associated to in the past.
No way.
How weird is that?
Is it a link through my cousin, Josh? As in my
No,
scouse cousin,
unfortunately
Josh.
not. No.
Okay,
It's,
so no links through my family in Liverpool.
Not family related.
Okie
It's
dokie.
Links through other
Is it
connections that you've made in the
Warrington
past.
connections?
No Warrington connection.
Thank God for
So
that.
we'll leave that there. But isn't that so strange that...
Wait, who is it? Who?
I can't say specifically.
Well, we'll
I'll tell
bleep
you
out.
off air.
We'll...
Ryan, you got...
No way.
Yeah. So he had... His girlfriend was close friends with this person that the name has been bleeped. How crazy
no
is that?
No way. Small world. Small world. That's good stuff, though. So you got in okay. Actually, for our listeners, can you give a quick rundown of your go-to Anfield outfit? Because it's a real get-up. And it's an outfit that's taken a bit of thought, but looks so at home, you know, in the cop or in that new stand, you know, wherever you end up, or in that pub that you go to before you head into the ground. And you've even thought about getting a little accessory to go along with it.
Yeah, I have indeed. It's actually, yeah, it's I think with a lot of places that people go, if you go regularly, there's a bit of an attire, a bit of a feeling. And Anfield is one of those places, sporting occasions in general, where, yeah, I tend to try and wear an outfit that mixes kind of with the people that go to the game. I think football in general has quite a fashionable fan base. I'm not saying that my outfit's fashionable at all, but I think it, yeah, quite nice. I don't necessarily wear colours to support as a sort of a go-to outfit. So actually the key staples of my outfit include, and this has a link to Speedo, so it's relevant, Berghaus waterproof
Yep.
jacket. And
Yep.
I've seen
Yep.
you
Yep.
wearing this. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't influenced by
Yeah.
your wearing of that.
It was your, am I right in saying your granny copped you
Yeah,
that?
yeah.
Yeah,
She
nice.
sorted
Come
that
on.
out for me.
She knows about
So
those home fixtures, yeah.
the request went in. She personally went to Speedo and asked for that. So yeah, really appreciative of that. And then I've got some nice, I've actually got Under Armour trackies.
Very
That
nice.
can be switched out with the cargos. Really good for pocket space. If you've got a program, if you've got a drink, if you've got a snack, if you've got a phone, if you've got a charging device, it's so important to have pocket space. And then just to top it
You're
off.
a fiend for a charging device as well.
Yeah,
This man
it
never
has to be
loses
done.
charge
Well,
anywhere
I
in the
actually
country.
left it in the car last
Oh,
the other day. Got it back though. And then finally to finish it off, it's the On Clouds on the feet.
love it. Love
Really
it.
soft, really soft shoes. So I feel as though I can sort of really rest at the game if I'm standing on my feet for 90 minutes. And all of the outfit is waterproof, which is crucial in case of
Big.
heavy downpour.
It's good
But
stuff.
anyway, I think that's enough of our catch up. I think Ryan, producer Ryan, is going to have his work cut out there, trying to keep that to 5 to 10 minutes. I'm sure he'll work out what is relevant and what is not.
The TWF.
Dive in. It's been counties this weekend, Tom, and I know that this is a race that you have obviously done a lot in the past. And it's obviously a big race for people coming through the sport as a youngster. I mean, it's you all know better than me, but possibly it's a place to take that key county title, maybe even swim a race and get a time for bigger regional and national tournament meets. I was just wondering if you sort of had any favorite counties memories that came to mind, and also if you had any disasters. And also, I think Bucks and Berkshire have been doing a chain relay. Discuss.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there. I think counties is a great one. I remember when I was 12, I think I raced every race at counties, I'm pretty sure. So I did every single. So for people who don't know much about swimming, it's there are four strokes: butterfly, backstroke, breaststroke, front crawl, and you can do 50, 100 meters, 200 meters, and then you can do 400 meters, 800 meters, and 1500 meters. And I did every single stroke, every single distance, and the medleys as well. So it's all four strokes in one race. So I remember spending weekends after weekend after weekend in the Magnet Leisure Centre in Maidenhead, 8 a.m. till 8 p.m., long, long shifts in that hot pool, just racing constantly throughout the day for years. I did that year in, year out, January, February time every year, my whole kind of teenage life. So that's how my weekends were spent, long before you and I had crossed paths. And I think it's a great opportunity to build up race experience. And often young swimmers think, they say, oh, I'm a freestyler, I'm a 200 meters backstroke swimmer. It's like, well, not you're not, because you need to do every race. You need to do it. Like my coach Paul would make me do a 1500 meter race every year at counties, because he said it was good at putting other races in perspective. Because only he said when I do a 200, I felt like I'd fly by, and it did, and he was absolutely right. So I love counties. I love racing at counties. It was a hell of a lot of fun. I remember my real standout memory was, I was quite young. I was only 14 maybe, and I'd never won a senior county title at this point, 13 or 14 maybe, and I was in the 400 meters senior final, 400 meters individual medley senior final. Okay, so big race, big big
Massive.
big fixture at the Magnet Leisure Centre in Maidenhead. I was sitting third place, quite comfortably, but quite a bit behind the first two people, and the guy in first place, a lad called Luke Thomas from Wickham, did one of his turns. Pushed off the wall about the halfway mark. I was way behind first and second place. Pushed off the wall, pushed off into another lane, and swam
Right.
into a guy called Albert Caravas and crashed into him. Okay. Albert Caravas was the guy who was second in the race. So first and place, second crashed into each other and, stopped. And they're like, bolt upright, didn't know what happened. I swam
My
past,
guy.
raced home, took the win. I'm getting on the lane rope. I'm slapping out. I'm like, ah, man. just taking the win. The first time ever at the under 14s. I was like 14 years old and I'd taken the senior win in the 400 meter
Wow.
medley, completely by fluke. Went home, won the race, and it was a mega, mega day. And that was my first senior race at counties I ever won. And then I never lost that race again, actually. And
That
Paul
was
said,
good.
and my coach Paul said, now that you've won that, he said, you're the most all-round swimmer. Well, no, as in the following year, once I won it properly, he said, you're the most all-round swimmer, because 400 IM is the most all-round event, and you'll never lose that event again. I remember getting pipped by James McFadden, a mutual friend of both of ours, a Wickham swimmer, John Hampden boy as well. He beat me by 1/100th of a second in the 200 medley. He went 204.04. I went 204.05. I remember that very clearly. And we had a real tussle growing up, me and him, on the 200 medley, from county level all the way up until the European Junior Championship. So yeah, some great memories from counties, but long, hot weekends spent in the Magnet Leisure Centre.
I think you've kind of glossed over one of the points you've made there. How is it possible for this young Mr. Thomas to end up in a different lane? How's he done that? How's he
So
done
I
that
think
then?
what happened is he's done the backstroke to breaststroke turn, which is quite a complicated turn anyway. Got completely disorientated coming off the wall, pushed off at an angle, and just done his underwater phase and popped up and realized it all happens quite quick. So bless him. Yeah, he went and took out the competitor. So thank you, Luke Thomas.
Is that a straight DQ? Or could they
Yeah.
have just like had a fight in that lane? But what about the poor other guy? Because it's
So
not
it's
his
a D.
fault.
No, it's a DQ if you go into the wrong lane.
Should hope so.
It's a DQ if you stand up and touch the bottom, I think. It's not a DQ if you don't touch the bottom. But then he might have done a few freestyle strokes just to like gather himself, and that's his. I don't know. I don't know technicalities. I'm sorry, I can't give more.
I've never heard of that. Imagine if Luke Thomas had come into your lane.
Oh,
Your
don't.
confidence could have been shot.
My career could have been sent in a completely different direction. So thank God he took out Albert Caravas. But no, very, very fond memories of counties. I saw a video though. You're right about recent counties, the Berkshire and South Buckinghamshire Amateur Swimming Association counties. Also, what is cool, these counties, the ones we own to, they've got trophies that go back to the 1800s, the county swimming championships, which is insane. Like my name's on a few of these trophies, and they're so steeped in history. It's really quite special, and it was a real honor to be awarded those when I was growing up. But the recent counties, they did like a chain relay, so they set six people off at the start of a race, and the person at the front does one length, second place does two, three, four, five, six, and you can't overtake or something like that. So I guess you put
Interesting.
a sprinter at the front and then like a 400-meter swimmer at the back. But it's just carnage. It looks like an open water race. And also you end up swimming in a circle because you can't turn. And it's like there's so many other exciting things you can do. And we had a friend of ours who's a coach at Maidenhead, and he said it wasn't very well organized. And I think they should do things like skins races. For people who don't know, that's where you like pick balls out of a hat and it is a different stroke each time. And then you stand on the blocks and there's no take your marks. It's just a beeper could go off within a space of 10 seconds. And it's often elimination. So 8, 6, 4, 3, 2, 1 or something like that. They do those at the Edinburgh International Meet. I've always had a good time doing that. They could have done a squadron relay, which is a 6x50 or even an 8x50 relay instead of the traditional 4x50, you know, and you can do squadron relays with all senior open age guys, or you can go like two people under 13s, two under 15s, two under 17s, two senior or something like that. So there's loads of different things that you could do to make it more exciting. I saw a video of this. It just looked, you know, you see like, no
I
offense,
actually need to have a look at this.
triathletes training and
Oh,
it's
the
just
worst.
white water because they're scrapping. And they train so hard, but they scrap. And it's just like, it looks like an open water swim. That's what it looks like. So I like the initiative. I love the fact they're trying to do things that are different and exciting, but I think slightly different. Maybe slightly different things could be done.
I'm actually watching it just now. For anyone who wants to watch, it's on BSB underscore ASA underscore county. Things on the story, it might disappear. But I like it. It's different. But you can see the guys and girls at the back are kind of just chilling. But I guess anything that gets more people involved, gets a squad involved, tests the depth of a club, is surely a good thing. But yeah, that one's definitely a little bit different, for sure. But if you've got any ideas, send those in to us on the Instagram. Drop us an email at theweeklyfreestyle@outlook.com, and do feel free to give us a rating on your preferred podcast provider. TWF.
Topic of the week.
And Tom, I think a few people have been wanting to know a little bit more about your swim school. So that's why this episode is titled, Why Did Tom Dean Start a Swim School? Which I think is quite a nice title to an episode.
It's a lovely title, isn't it?
I feel as though it's a full circle moment for you, something you've been quite passionate about on your own Instagram. So some people may have seen a little bit more there. But I think the first place to start is, where did the idea come from to start a swim school? And kind of, was there a specific moment that light bulb went off in your brain?
I think there's loads to unpack here. Yeah, I think, you know, running the swim school and starting the Tom Dean Swim School has been a real passion project of mine and something I've always wanted to do. And I'm sure we're going to talk about this a little bit down the line, but what's most exciting is definitely the team that I get to work with. So obviously, as we've mentioned, you know, you and I both work at the swim school together, which is a real pleasure, and we get to you know, go on trips and do pitches, and you know, you're really at the heart of what we do, which is super exciting because at the end of the day, what we're doing is essentially a startup, you know, and we're trying to expand and make a real difference to people's lives. And a few things that you've said when we've had conversations have really kind of opened my eyes. I've been like, actually, yeah, that's you know, like we spoke the other day around the approach to finding new sites and how you want to really build relationships and you know, have a good you know, people want to view you in a good light, so that they're kind of willing and open to the idea of working with us. Things around the PR, things around finding good content, you know, all these kind of things have been super exciting to learn. So that's been a great journey that I've been fortunate enough to go on. I think when it comes to actually starting the swim school, this is something I wanted to do years ago. So if people who don't know, we actually launched the swim school on October the 14th, 2024. So I mean, a matter of months ago. I mean, October, November, December, January. Three and a bit months ago. You know, it's not been too long. But it's been years and years in the making. So it started after the Tokyo Olympics. I really wanted to, I don't know, make a real change to the the grassroots level of the sport, because it's not swimming at that level. It's life skill. It's confidence building. It's a school. It's like the days you spend in school when you're in your early years, and how formative they are for you. And as great as performance and high level, athleticism and winning medals is, I think for me that's what really stood out as where I found the most fulfillment. I was fortunate enough after Tokyo to go into loads of schools and swimming clubs and talk to loads of people and talk to loads of parents and learn to swim, and swimming lessons and being safe and confident in the water. They were the real standout points I took away from it. Or, almost more than, 16, 17, 18, 19-year-olds winning nationals or something like that. It was really that grassroots. And I thought, well, how can I make a change in this space? How can I really give people the best possible experience when they learn to move through water? And swimming's unlike any other sport. It's not like cricket or football or rugby, which are obviously great sports and a lot of people want to get their kids into. Swimming's a sport that can actually save your life. It's more than a sport. It's a skill. It's a life skill. It's like crossing the road, or tying your shoelaces, or learning how to look after yourself. It's going to hold you in good stead, and that's what I think really puts it in its own in a league of its own when it comes to, sports and life skills. And I thought, I'd love to give people the best possible start to their journey. Because how many people did swimming lessons when they were young? How many of our parents said, "Oh, we had to do school swimming lessons"? Doesn't seem to happen as much anymore. Or we went to local swimming baths, and our pools closed and all this kind of stuff. We brought pools back from the brink of shutting, and that would mean people losing out on lessons. And that whole process has been really, really rewarding for me, and it remains so. And you look, we're 3 months in. Yeah, I can't wait to be 3 years in or 6 years in down the line of this journey. And what we've achieved only in the first few months is pretty exciting.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking, have you ever been to a swim school yourself? Because I'm trying to think the first time you would have learned to swim. Obviously, you've had a lot of time at the Marlins, but was there a point where you were actually in those kind of lessons with your siblings, actually just trying to stay afloat, as it were, as a youngster, even a few months to a few years old?
Yeah, I've actually got photos. Also, I grew up in London before I moved out to Maidenhead. Moved out when I was 8 years old, and yeah, I've got photos of me at swimming lessons. I remember so clearly, just getting told off in all my swimming lessons for just being under the water too much. I just loved being under the water. I couldn't, yeah, they couldn't stop me from just like swimming down. I felt like I was like, you feel like you're flying because you're weightless, and you're scuba diving. It just feels so cool. And I remember getting told off by my swimming teacher as being under the water too much. But I love being in the water. I couldn't be kept away, and I had some great swimming teachers. There's still family friends, a swimming teacher called Emma, who was really, really close with me and my family, and taught us at the local pool. So yeah, I've got really fond memories of growing up and doing learn to swim myself, and I want everyone to have that same experience that I had, and be fortunate enough to have such a great experience of those first early days of being in the water.
I think in another life, you would have made a good sort of pool cleaning attendant, because you could have gone in, dived to the bottom of the pool, and just scrub every single tile in there,
I would have
making
been in my element.
it absolutely unreal. I've been doing a little bit of that at one of our local sites, actually. It's a very satisfying job to get
Yeah.
something looking like a little bit average to actually making it look really nice and really, really shiny. And I think it does make a difference, actually. And I think I just wanted to, to pick up there on in terms of the importance of actually learning to swim, because as you said, it is something that is it's a life skill. I mean, if you couldn't kick a ball in a net, it's probably not going to lead to sort of putting you in situations in real danger. Whereas if you can't actually swim, whether it being you go on holiday with your family, if you live near sort of a body of water, obviously at the Thames, in Berkshire, we live near the Thames. A lot of people will live near similar bodies of water. Sort of a lot of metropolitan areas like Birmingham, Manchester will have hundreds of miles of canals, and then obviously, if people live on the coast, you're never going to be far away from the sea. So I think there's that extra element of actually, it's one thing having a swim school and getting people to come to that, and that's brilliant. But actually, there's a piece that your swim school is trying to do where actually it's trying to become more accessible to sort of other members of the community. And actually, as you say, maintain facilities, because if they go, where are people going to be able to swim? But also actually trying to open up swimming to communities where possibly that swimming isn't kind of at the top of the agenda, as maybe parents have younger children growing up, and in many cases parents wouldn't be able to swim either. And you think, okay, This family can't swim. That's fine. They're not going to go on a pool holiday. They're not going to go in the sea. That's great. But if you live within a body of water, there's a chance, especially when your child is growing up, and they could even just be a few sort of a few years old, they're going to come into to a body in contact with a body of water. And it's so important that actually, if that happens, could you save yourself? Because there's another element of if you were to fall in a body of water and you couldn't save yourself, but your mate can. They could jump in and follow you and actually make everything worse because people can end up getting sort of both sort of drowning. And I think that's something we'll come back to. There are obviously lots of key days and weeks when we can talk specifically about drowning, but I just think there's that element as well, and just trying to get into different communities and talk about the importance of that.
Well, we always hear these horror stories. I mean, I remember growing up in school. That was allowed. I went to school in Marlow, at Borlase, but there was another school in Marlow called Great Marlow. And there's a guy in our year, I forget his name, but he drowned in Marlow going into the river after a football. You know, he was our age. You know, a kid just lost his life. And it's like that wrecks a whole community and a whole school year, and it tears a whole family apart. And I think it's tough when you're a swimmer and you grow up swimming and your family's always swum. And people say, well, I can't swim. And you're almost like, well, what do you mean you can't swim? You know, you just move your arms, move your legs. But people can't do it. And there's a fear factor. And, you know, if both parents can't swim, then the child's only got 13% chance of being water safe. You know, that. So it does get passed down through generations. So it's vital, absolutely. Even if you don't live near a body of water, even if you can't swim as a parent, that your kids do learn to swim. And often a lot of our kids, you know, teachers will say to parents, well, take them for a fun swim on the weekend. Like we used to go as a family for a fun swim every Sunday, take your kids for a fun swim on the weekend. And the parents will say, but I can't swim. And it's like, you know, it does get passed down through generations. And you can understand if there's that fear around a body of water, then why would you do it? You know, go anywhere near it, putting your head under, you know, being comfortable in that space, because people might have missed out on that when they were younger. And that's why, you know, we provide adults learn to swim as well as kind of kids and young children. So yeah, it's super important. I can't stress enough for parents, kids, for everyone to just get water safe. I'm not saying you have to become a professional swimmer and do early, you know, crazy early mornings. Just go there and enjoy being comfortable and safe in the water.
Yeah, completely agree with that. And I think a lot of people listening to this podcast right now, the few people out there, they're likely to have sort of a good relationship with water, given the nature of what we talk about. So I think it's that thing of, you know, it won't happen overnight, and it's kind of an education piece that hopefully over the months and years, you know, the swim school can certainly have a really positive impact. But one thing you're doing to take action, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that you're actually going to attend and complete your level one training very soon. Probably not this month because it's the 27th, but very
Well,
soon.
I think we both are actually,
Oh,
Stas.
okay.
Correct me if I'm wrong. We're both getting our swimming
We're
teacher's
both
A1.
doing
We
it right.
exactly. We have such a commitment to the Tomlinson Swim School that we are actually getting our level one swim teaching with one of our own teachers, Karen, who very recently passed her tutor course. I don't know if you know, but literally a matter of days ago. So I sent her a little well done message, and I'm really excited to getting stuck in. It's just going to be. You know, we're going to be back in the classroom. You know, it's going to be a good laugh. So no kind of chucking pens across a classroom or talking while the teacher's talking. None of that. But I'm sure you know you were a prefect at school, I'm pretty sure. So you'll be the one telling me to tuck my shirt in and stay on the straight and narrow.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I won't allow any I won't give you an inch in terms of breathing space. I'll be sat next to you and whispering in your ear what I expect from you. So no, really looking forward to doing that, getting back in the classroom, getting myself a level one. And you know what? It's another string to the bow. Is that the right saying? String
Completely. Add it to the
to the bow.
CV. Add it to the CV. I'm looking forward to it. And it'll give us both a better perspective of what our teachers are experiencing every day, you know, and what they have to go through. And I'm really excited about that.
And also, if one of the teachers is ever ill, or you know, got something on, then I'll be sure to give you a phone call and just say, "Oh no, I know
Straight
someone that's free. I know someone that's free."
over.
So no, that who knows? Yeah, as has already happened, you could have Tom as your kind of teacher in the water. So yeah, well, I'm sure we'll catch up on that again. I think it's just been really helpful to kind of discuss that through and kind of give people maybe an update on that.
The weekly
Weekly
freestyle.
freestyle,
Anything goes.
as long as your turns are legal. So just to finish off, we always do the weekly freestyle, which gives us a little bit of breathing space, a little section to its own to talk about anything we want. And now, put out a little thing on Instagram yesterday, asking for what are the worst things about being a swimmer? Now, I know this is quite a negative thing to start off with, but actually, as you're getting back in the pool, I'm wondering those things that you're kind of remembering that you have to do, that you've maybe been doing for a number of years now, and I want to rank them. So the first thing I need from you, Tom, is kind of what is the worst thing about being a swimmer, and specifically maybe a club swimmer in your book. And I've got a couple of other entries as well, and we can rank them.
The worst thing about being a swimmer was getting changed into my school uniform, into a suit, in a hot, sweaty pool when you're already hot and sweaty because you've done a hard training session and it's the summer. And then you rock up to school with a sticky, like, shirt that you've had to kind of try and put on and do your tie up and then eating. Oh, no, it was eating a bowl of Alpen while my sister was driving me to school in our Peugeot, in her Peugeot
307.
307. Yeah. Affectionately known as the Golden Nugget, because it was kind of a mustard gold color. And, like, she's a great person, really academic, but not the best driver in the world. Wouldn't be on the starting grid of a Grand Prix, probably. And while you're swerving down Winter Hill to get to school and you're trying to keep a bowl of Alpen from spilling everywhere, it's a little bit of a pain. So, probably one of those two.
I think that's a strong entry. So we'll go for kind of that, the sacrifices or the adjustments you have to make to your day, whether that be putting a suit on or driving on the go. I've got a couple of others I want you to hear about, and I think it's quite an obvious one to start from Ben. We've got early mornings.
Yeah, I was going to be my
Got
first
early
one, to be
mornings.
fair. I still can't get on board with early mornings. I was up at 6:30 this morning, and it's just not fun. Every morning I wake up to early morning, I'm like, God, I wish I could just have a lie-in. I wish I could have a. I mean,
Every single morning.
the thing is about me is, like, because I did, so I do 5 mornings a week up at 5 a.m., but two of those were on the weekend. So I do three during the working week, as in during the school week, and then my other two were 6:30. So it was like 5 a.m., 6:30, 5 a.m., 6:30, 5 a.m., 5 a.m., 5 a.m. They were like my weeks while I was at school. So it was just like 6:30 was like a dream, but it was just tough. It was, I mean, people used to have Sunday mornings off, but for some reason, mainly we just didn't have Sunday mornings off. So what can you do?
That's the way it goes. And then finally from Beth, we've got long days at meets, which I think is something we discussed last week.
Oh,
That that's a pretty tough one.
Yeah, long days at meets. I think, I don't know, maybe something needs to change there, but 8 a.m. till 8 p.m. at K2 Crawley. Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. It's tough. And, you just see swimmers sat, like, slumped somewhere trying to do some homework, eating, like, jelly babies before they race. It's just like, yeah, it's something about swimming meets. I don't envy the parents that have to sacrifice their weekends, as mine did for years and years and years. It's tough.
They did. So to round off today's episode, out of your three options, we'll go with eating on the go, early mornings, and long days at meets. Which are you saying is the worst of the worst?
Early mornings. Final answer. Can't
There we
stand
go.
them. Cannot stand them. Just give me a lie in, for goodness sake.
Yeah, I just imagine you waking up at sort of 6 o'clock, 6:30, going, why am I doing this? Why can I not lie in for that extra minute longer? Have you got a strategy when it comes to waking up to your alarm?
Yeah, I've got two alarm clocks because a few years ago, it was during the Tokyo Olympic year, prepping for that Olympic Games, my alarm clock malfunctioned, didn't go off, and I slept until
Oh, I've heard that one
9:30.
before.
And
I've heard that one before.
I was
Malfunctioned.
so knackered. I was so knackered. My alarm clock just was not going off. I just wasn't getting up to my alarm clock. Like, no chance of getting up to that alarm. And I went into training, and my coach kicked me out of the center for 2 days because it was Olympic year, and I wasn't up to scratch, and he was not very happy. So I now have two alarm clocks that go off every morning to make sure that I do get up. So nothing can go wrong.
Good man. And when you buy it, you say, is this alarm clock going to be, does it have a malfunction? And they say, no, all of our alarm clocks are always fine. It's an alarm clock.
Yep.
And that's it.
Yeah,
That's
there you
it's
go.
done. Well, thank you very much for listening today. Hopefully Tom gets up for next week's pod record. And we've actually hopefully got a guest in the works.
Yeah, we do.
I'm hoping we can maybe get on site. So that's going to be our first guest of the relaunch. So keep an eye out for that. We're working hard in the background, And tonight we're going to get some extra content. So really looking
Oh,
forward to
can't
getting that
wait.
out. And we've actually
Cannot
got
want.
some content that I can drop today that I showed you earlier,
I
which is good.
think it's good content. I think it's really good content. Yeah, and we get some content. And there's a bit on the line tonight. There's a little bit of a wager, if you will, that we'll fill people in when it comes to when it comes to the filming tonight. So very much looking forward to that. So I will see you in the lovely town of Maidenhead in about 6.5 hours.
Yeah, I'll be there.
Water.
I'll see you at the gates.
Fantastic. See you soon.
See you in a bit.